Hebrews chapter 12, also Philippians chapter 3. Hebrews 12, the Bible said in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray, and then I'll read Philippians 3 after we pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. I want to thank you for having a measure of God consciousness here in the service. Lord, I know that we don't deserve it. None of us do. If we got what we deserved and how this congregation and the viewing congregation has treated you this week alone, Lord, you surely would not be meeting with us here this morning. And Lord, I know that it offends you when you make an effort to help and it is rejected. So I'm praying this morning that you would get personal, that Lord, you would draw near, get close, speak to every one of us, challenge us, feed us, help us this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for helping me already in the service. Good liberty to pray. Lord, good liberty to sense your presence, your leadership. Thank you for the challenge of my heart already this morning. And Lord, I do believe, Father, that you intend on every service having an effect on us in a spiritual way. Lord, I don't believe that it's your will that we had come to the house of God and leave on the same level or leave in the same condition, mindset, Father, that we came to church with. I don't believe it's your will that we leave the house of God less than the condition and level that we came in. I believe you want us to move forward, and I believe that it's your desire and design for us to move forward and move upward as you have a purpose and a plan for our life. Have your way, Lord, this morning. And God, what you do for us, help me to just discern your leadership through the course of the message. And I know, Lord, that if you'll speak it to me and speak it through me, Lord, then your will would be done. Or at least the potential of your will be done. Have your way, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I was listening, trying to listen throughout the course of the service to the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, and I do want to have a very keen sense of discernment in that area, and I don't think that's something a preacher ought to pray about. I think that is something every believer should make a serious matter of prayer, continually a matter of prayer, that God would help us to discern when he's making a change, when he's making a move, when he's giving leadership, when something's going on that you don't know, you can't figure it out, you don't know what's the details. Be careful in those moments. That is a classic setup for you to miss God if you're not careful. And I've been there, you've been there, we've all been there, and probably will be there yet again. In situations where we're really uncertain of what's going on and what we need to do and what God is doing. And if you're not careful in those moments, you'll make a move based on emotions. You'll make a move, a choice in your life based on reasoning and how you figure and what you think and maybe even what somebody else says. And I've just found that in my life and have tried to learn, and I've been taught the hard way in this area too, you make a move in a time like that, it's going to be most of the time, high percentage of the time, it's going to be a wrong move. And I've found great consolation, and boy, I feel God's wanting to help us this morning. Well, I found great consolation at just being able to pray and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't even know what I need to be doing. But Lord, I know that you're a God of communication. And this Bible is clear to the fact that you deal with your people clearly. God never deals with cloudiness and uncertainty. He doesn't turn your life upside down and then says, figure it out. He doesn't start moving or you know, and then leave you hanging. God is not a God that operates in leaving you hanging. If he wants you to go from point A to point B, he is God enough to make that clear as to where point A is and where point B is and the move in between. Amen. And so may the Lord help us. But I know that it's God's will for us to go forward. It's always God's will for you to go forward. Always. And sometimes that may not make sense. When God gave direction to Moses at the Red Sea, you know what his direction was? How many knows what his direction was? Forward. That didn't look like, there was no way that, far as looking at it, that could have been the will of God. And you know, if I'd have been in that situation, I don't know that I would have responded the way Moses did. I want to have a strong faith that when God says go, when God says go forward, and there's a wall there, there's a mountain there, there's a Red Sea there, there's a complication there, that I want to have a strong faith in the Lord, that, and I want to have discernment to know his voice when he does say go forward. I don't want to just act on a whim or a feeling. I want to know his voice. Thank God John 10 says, my sheep know my voice. And it said they follow me. Oh, I want to be strong in that area. Because there's going to be a lot of times, I believe, from here on out, that it's going to be difficult to make choices on sight, feelings, what you hear, your emotions, and such like. Amen. And I believe we have every scriptural right to slow down when we don't know what to do and say, Lord, I'm not moving till you show me clearly what to do. Can I ask you something? What's wrong with that? I'm telling you, you're looking at a preacher that right there probably has salvaged me. It probably has salvaged my ministry. It's probably salvaged me even here at RBT over the years, even in recent months, of making a move out of uncertainty, a move where feelings seem to be confirming, but yet no voice from the Lord. And I slowed down. Scared of missing God. Listen, I have a fear of missing the Lord. Oh, if you miss God, sometimes it's hard to recover. Sometimes it may be just a little thing and it really don't carry a lot of weight with it. But sometimes it may be life-changing. It may be course-changing. It may be destiny-changing. Not heaven or hell, but where you're going to be 20 years from today. And I want to hear his voice. I want to slow down when I don't know and say, God, what are you doing? Show me. Show me. I'm not rebelling. I'll follow. Show me what you want. And we'll do our best to follow. But I was thinking how the Lord wants us to go forward, and the illustration in Hebrews 12 is that of a runner. Let us run the race that is set before us. That in itself indicates a direction, does it not? Forward. The finish line. Some of you need to hear what I'm... Oh boy, God's trying to help us. The finish line is not behind you. I don't know that I ever made that statement before. The finish line is not behind you. The devil will try to tell you it is. The devil tried to tell you the finish line's behind you in that he's trying to convince you you're finished. The finish line is yet ahead. Can you do this right here? That means you're still alive. You're still on the top side of the soil. You're still among the living. And amen, you look at you in the house of God. Amen. You're not finished. There may be some flaws. There may be some injuries. There may be some things that have went on or maybe is going on in your life. But make sure that you do not make the choice that it's going to be fatal. Failures are not fatal. Thank God. And many failures are not final. I'm glad I can shout about that this morning. Oh, if failures were fatal and if they were final, I wouldn't be here today. And even if I was here today, I'd be preaching to an empty church because we're flawed people. We're needy people. There's no halos in this place. Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you how the Lord's helped me and is helping me is to not deal with every little old thing come in my life as if it's catastrophe. There's a measure of victory that can be had in your life by saying, Lord, you deal with them. You deal with her. You deal with him. Whatever the situation is. God didn't call me, nor has God called you to correct everything and every matter in everybody else's life. I found great help. And when I'd say, Lord, I want to be right. I want to focus my attention on myself. I want not selfishly, but I want to focus myself on myself. And I want to be right. And if they're wrong, if he's wrong, if she's wrong, if they're wrong, Lord, you said vengeance is yours. If there's any vengeance needed, retaliation, anything that needs to be done, Lord, you said that's yours. And if it's yours, it's not mine. I'm giving that to you and let the Lord deal with that. I'm telling you, I've got relief from some burdens under that, doing that. But I know God wants us to go forward. I know God wants us to progress and to go forward. How many's doing that? How many can look at your own life and can see growth and progress, that can see that you're advancing? May not be quickly. It may not be great amounts, but you can see that you're at least in a forward motion. Let us run the race that is set before us. And here's the thought that came heavy on my mind there just a moment ago, a few moments ago, sitting there. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There's a danger zone. I want to mention something here before I share the thought. There's a danger zone. There's a lot of them, but this one in particular this morning is being stuck between where you are and where you need to be, being stuck. Now listen, I believe this with all my heart, that God's people are not ignorant about where they are, because you don't get where you are without choices. We're not like a leaf that's just has no will of its own and is blown about by whatever wind that comes by. That's not us. We have a will. Neither God nor the devil can move you against your will. God and the devil, either one having their way in your life, is going to be with your consent. Everybody agree with that? I'm glad we're not robotic. We're not robots that operate off of the will of another. Amen. If that'd be the case, we'd be more spiritual than we are if God was having his way in our life. I promise you that. And if the devil's having his way in our life, we'd be far worse off. I guarantee you there wouldn't be any of us in this service this morning if the devil was having his way. All of us would be already either taken out off the scene, out from among the living. That would be a desire of the devil. Or else he would want to corrupt our life to the point that he could use us for his purpose. That's it, isn't it? And here's being stuck between where you are. And everybody in here, listen, everybody in here knows where you are. Everybody, one way you can compare where you are and discern where you are is look where you were. Look at where you are compared to where you were. There should be some landmarks. There should be some things in your life that indicate, that's indications of where you were compared to where you are. Where you need to be versus where you are. If I were to ask that simple question this morning, where do you need to be spiritually? Where do you need to get back to? Where do you need to be? What do you need? What changes need to be made for you to be where you need to be? Most of us in here could probably answer several of that. We could probably give some information concerning that. You know why? Because where we are comes with knowledge. Because where we are is the results of choices that we have made, good or bad. And if I made choices, then that means I knew. If I made a choice, that meant there was a negative side and then there was a positive side to every choice. There's a yes side and a no side of every choice. Is that not? That's just good common sense. And so if I'm where I am and it's a result of choices, then I know if it was a spiritual choice or if it was a carnal or fleshly choice. Being stuck from where you are to where you need to be. And here's what the Lord dealt with my heart sitting right there. I want to give it to you. Here's what He spoke to my heart. I wrote it on the front of this morning's bulletin. Continuing to hold on to what is holding you back. There's continuing the race, the runner in Hebrews 12 has been admonished to lay aside. Notice that, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us or encumber us or weight us down or hold you back. Would I be safe to say this morning? Would I be safe to say this, that surely it's God's will for all of us to be further down the road spiritually than we are. If you don't agree with that, I believe you've got problems. Because to disagree with that statement, which is an all-inclusive statement, to disagree with that statement would be to admit that you're everything God wants you to be. And I don't know nobody that would say that. I was talking to a person yesterday, and they were talking about recording music. And he made this statement. He said, there has never been a perfect musical recording. He said, they will not allow it. They will not allow it because people are not perfect. We've got technology now. They were telling me that we got technology now that can go into, after a recording has been made, technology can go in and clear it up and straighten it up and raise this tone and take that down and add and mix it and make flawed people, imperfect people, sound almost perfect. And he said they made it, it's just, there's never been one put out. He said it may not be detected by our ears because we're not so tuned to perfection in the musical direction. But those that have an ear for it probably could hear it. It may just be one little area that's not 100% perfect. You know what? You're not perfect this morning. I know that's devastating news. I know that you wanted right then to reach up at reflex and see if the halo was straight on your head. But we are not perfect people. We haven't arrived. But there's a danger for you and me of continuing to hold on to that which is holding you back. Now, I'm confident of this. I believe this as sure as I'm preaching this morning and standing here before you this morning, that there are people that are where they are, knowing they need to be here to a higher level, a deeper walk. They know they're supposed to be there, but they're staying here. And you listen, I'm confident of this. It is because there are things at that point that they are unwilling to let go of. That there are things in their life that, whatever it is, that they know that if I let go, in order for me to get here spiritually, I need to leave there. And to leave there means I need to let go of some things that is meant to hold me there. I wonder what would happen to our church service this morning and the future of RBT if everybody would let go of that which is holding you back. Could be an attitude. It could, amen. It could be unforgiveness. It could be ill will, resentment, jealousy, and a thousand other things. But the Word of God says right here, and I'm about done. Listen, the Word of God says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, let us lay aside. I want to say a word about that. Let us means you do it. This is not something God's going to do. Let us lay aside the weight. The runner, the one that's wanting to do their very best, the one that wants to fulfill their purpose and potential. They don't want to just run, but they want to run their best. They want to do their best. They don't want to compete and compare themselves with other runners. They want to do their best in their lane, their pace, and run for the glory of God. Are we willing to let go of what was holding us back? Or are we going to continue to hold on to what is holding us back? Lay aside every weight. See, our problem is we lay aside some weights. But it said lay aside every weight. I wonder what would happen this morning if everybody said, Lord, I want to be completely clean. I want to be completely right with you this morning. I want to let loose, let go of anything and everything that's holding me back. No telling what would happen. Anytime you come in a church service and it's dead, count on it. Somebody's got their grips on something that they should let go of. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Every time there's a quenched spirit, listen, every time there's a quenched spirit, that's what's behind it. That's what's behind it. When there's a lack of growth in your life, that's what's behind it. When there's a lack of progress, that's what's behind it. Holding on to what is holding you back. Who do you think's behind holding you back? You think God's in that? That's a little elementary question. That's probably even a K-4 question. You think God's behind what is holding you back? See, we're quick to let go of those things that's holding us back financially because we want to excel in the financial realm. We want to climb those ladders. We want to move into, you know, and have more income. We want that. And we're quick to let go of things that would maybe hold us back in that area. We're quick to let go of things in areas that we want to excel in. But why do we not want to excel spiritually? Why do we not want to really be doing better spiritually? Being further down the road, higher with the Lord spiritually. And we know what it's going to cost us. We know what God wants in our life. And many times we'll hold on to the very thing that's holding us back. And so it says there, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily, I get that, easily beset us, hinders us. But we'll still try to keep, I'm running, preacher. Yeah, but you're tripping over your tongue. You know why? You're carrying all kinds of weight and baggage of trying to run. Look in our other text here, Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing from inside of a Roman prison. And he's writing about his desire in context of what I want to read. He's writing about his desire to be in complete Christ-likeness. And he realizes that and you can see that in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul is not speaking there of educational knowledge. He's speaking of experiential knowledge. He's already been saved for years. He's already been an apostle for years and have penned down some epistles. But yet he says, my aspiration spiritually in life is that I may experientially know God. And he realizes and he desires to be made conformable unto his death. And he explains in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What's going to happen when we die? What's going to happen in the resurrection? We are going to be, as believers, we are going to get a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. The Bible said in 1 John 3, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, listen to this statement, we shall be like him. Paul's greatest desire in his whole life and ministry, and it's what drove him to be faithful to God, even in prisons and jail and beatings and snake bites and shipwrecks and all of the above and many more. What drove him to stay faithful and true was that he wanted to be brought into Christ-likeness. Amen. Oh my. Joseph in the book of Genesis, God promised him at 17 years old that he was going to be upon the throne. He was going to be elevated to a position of authority. But as things transpired in his life and things happened in his life, it looked like it was all negative and that it was never going to happen. His brother sold him out, throwed him in a pit, and meant for him to die in that pit and would have. But God nudged one of the brothers to say, let's not leave him in the pit. Here comes a caravan of, what was it, the Midianites? Let's sell him. And nothing had happened. He sold him, ended up in Potiphar's house. You know all that. Had ended up in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lied on him. He ended up in prison, and then he was forgotten, and everything. None of it looked like was helping him. None of it looked like was for him. God said, you're going to be on a throne. You're going to be a ruler. You're going to be an authority. You're going to be in control. But yet he was going down and down and down and down and down. Joseph could have said, you know what? I don't see it happening. But it kept saying over and over and over, Brother Mark, the Lord was with Joseph. No doubt the Lord kept telling Joseph, don't figure it out. I'm with you. If I'm with you, it's okay. I'm going through it with you. I'm behind it. I know what I'm doing. And no doubt Joseph probably had the attitude, Lord, if it requires for me to be sold out, hated, despised of my brethren, lied on by Potiphar's wife, forgotten about in the prison. If it takes that for me to get to where you want me to be in life, then so be it. Paul was saying that I may be conformable unto his death, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. No doubt Paul had the attitude and heart, Brother Travis, that said, Lord, if it requires jail and imprisonment, if it's abandonment like John on the Isle of Patmos, if it's shipwreck, snake bites, all kinds of perils and sword, all kinds of problems, if it takes that for me to be brought into Christ-likeness, then so be it. But you know how we are? First negative thing comes in our life, we quit. Or at least think about it. First little negative comes along, we get the poochy lip. Amen. What Miss Donna sang, in light of the circumstance that I opened the service with this morning, they are not contradictory. God is in control, but yet here's a family that's bereaved and suffering. Hey, I want to tell you, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And I want to tell you what Romans 8, 28 does not say. Here's what it does say, and that we know. Didn't say we feel. It didn't even say we see. He said we know. Sometimes we need to discard what we feel and go off of what we know. Biblically, what we know. Scriptural principles that we know. Amen. Disregard emotions and all of that and go off what God says. That's right. Amen. That's right. And amen. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to stay where we need to be till we have further direction. Amen. And we need to do what God says. But it says here in this text, I lost that train of thought. I'll get it back in a minute maybe if the Lord wants me to give it. But in Philippians 3, it says this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul said, I've not arrived. He said, I want to be in Christ's likeness. I want to be like him. I want to be like him in my mind. I want to be like him in my spirit. I want to be like him in my everyday conduct. I want to be like Christ. How many wants that? How many wants that? I mean, I don't think that it's wrong at all to ask yourself periodically and regularly in your life, am I Christ-like with these desires? Now, you'll never live long enough to convince me the way a lot of people dress that they ever entertain the thought of, is this Christ-like? Would Christ be honored in this? You'll never convince me of that. This is the most immodest age I've ever seen, and it's not just in the world. It is flooding most churches. And would flood this one if I didn't preach against it every once in a while. And I intend on it. I intend to keep doing it. Because I know who's behind it. The Spirit of God is not behind it. The Spirit of God is not behind it. Amen. You can nod your head or bow your head, whatever you want to do, it don't matter. But look what he said. Paul said, I want to be like Christ. Not as though I've already attained. He said, I've not attained. Paul's one of the greatest Christians ever known. He said, I've not attained. Either we're already perfect. He said, here's what I do. I'm following after it. I'm on that trail. I've got that as my sights and focus. I'm after it. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brother Bob, that word apprehend has the idea of what you do when you capture somebody. That means you've laid hands on them. They're in custody. Paul said, here's what I want to do. He said, I want to lay hands on that purpose for which God laid his hands on me for. And everybody in here that's saved, God has a purpose for which he laid hands on you. God has a purpose for which he saved you for. And you know what your lifelong ultimate priority should be in life is to lay hands on, make it yours, embrace it, put it into action, bring it into application in your life. Why God saved you? I see very few that even seems to be interested in why God saved you. Amen. Paul said, I'm after it. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Not one of the things, not part-time, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now I want to tell you, there a lot of people are being held back. Amen. They're being held back by what they're continuing to hold on to. Forgetting those things which are behind doesn't mean a lapse of memory that you cannot recall. But it means what I know. I refuse to let it influence my life in the present. Forgetting those things which are in the past. We've used this little term, and it's not little, but it's big, it's power-packed, it's life-changing. Let go and let God. Those four words right there can be absolutely life-changing. Let go and let God. Do you realize there are people today that are dealing with things still yet that they had happen, or some circumstance that went on in their childhood? Still not over it. Still not over it in life. You say, preacher, what's necessary? Something that you can't do in your flesh? Something that you cannot do with natural ability? You can't forgive somebody that hurt you and done something major in your life. You can't just forgive them with your own ingenuity and your own ability. God has to help you with that. The same Spirit, listen, God's trying to help somebody. The same Spirit that was on the cross with Jesus Christ, influencing him to where he looked at the very ones, Brother Rob, that was crucifying him, the very ones that in just a moment or two, the very one even that would take the spear and thrust it into his side. Listen, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same Spirit that was on Stephen when Stephen was looking at the very ones, Brother Craig, throwing rocks, stoning him literally to death. For what? Crime? No. For his call to preach, his faithfulness to preach the gospel to those people. And he looked at them and prayed earnestly before he died, and he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And guess who was standing there? Not throwing rocks, but there was a young man standing there holding the coats of them that were throwing the stones. We later found out that it was Saul of Tarsus that after Acts 9 he got saved and became Paul the Apostle. The one that brought the gospel to the Gentile world is now in our text saying, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't hold on to what's holding you back. There's people died bitter, wouldn't forgive. Here's what I learned a long time ago and still learning. Forgiveness does not let the person off the hook. Forgiveness is for your freedom. You forgiving someone else may not do a thing for them. They may not be the least bit interested. But it'll sure free you. It'll sure set you free. Put it in the hands of God. Realize you're not going to be enlisted as the fourth part of the Trinity, and you're not going to be sharing the judgment seat with Christ to help him out. I think it's well just say, Lord, you handle it. Forgetting those things which are behind, I refuse to let what I know of the past influence me in the present. Forgetting those things which are behind. And then look at this, reaching forth unto those things which are before. In spite of what the devil tells you, there are, according to this verse, things that are before us. Everything's not behind us. There are still yet purposes for you. There are still plans for you. God can still use your life. God can. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And there's always going to be a combat and a competition between behind and before. That's where you get stuck. You get stuck in the middle of what you're unwilling to let go of, so that you may turn around and face the finish line, face the going forward and finishing your purpose, finishing your race, reaching. You'll never reach forth until you have let go of. You can't be holding on to what's behind you and reaching forward to those things which are before at the same time. Oh, you said, preacher, I've got two hands. That's why I can do that. I got two hands, preacher. With one hand, I'm going to hold on to what is behind me. And with the other hand, I'm going to hold on or reach forth unto those things which are before. But if you think about it, your reach is never going to extend any further than what it is. And if I'm holding on to what's behind me, I will never be able to reach, because Paul had in mind reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's talking about the future things and the finish line. You can't reach that Embrace that. Experience the reality of all of that, holding on to what's behind you. That's just a simple message the Lord stirred my heart about sitting over there a few minutes ago. Holding on to what's holding you back. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to take the message, Lord, that you just sovereignly sent, that you put in my heart to share here this morning. And Lord, when you begin to work that thought in my mind, I know that there are cases of that even here present this morning. There are cases, maybe not here this morning, that I know about that come here where that is happening, where there is a danger, they're stuck, they're unwilling to make a move from where they are to go to where they need because they're unwilling to let go of some things. They're continuing to hold on to what's holding them back. Lord, I don't know all about who and what is needed in the service. I just know that I minded you. I did what you told me to, Lord. And Lord, I had good liberty, good clear witness of the Holy Spirit to share these thoughts. I pray you'll use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.